It's wonderful to know who the Lord is. How many of y'all are choosing Jesus?
Amen.
Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we are following Jesus. We will serve the Lord. Amen. Let me bless you all. Thank you all for your presence here tonight. Amen. And we pray, thank God for my wife and all of you all that are here. Amen. Give yourself a hand. We want to be mindful of the terrorist attack that took place over there in Brussels. Amen. You know, we never know when it's going to come our way. So let's be mindful to keep them in prayer. Amen. We're going to turn at this time to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. We're going to read verses 1 through 15 of Philippians chapter 3. I'll go back to that. Why don't we'll read 7 through 15, and then I'll come back later and we'll read verses 1 through 6. So for now, we'll read verses 7 through 15. Do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
And for the, well, we need amen. I'll wait. Do we all have it?
Amen.
Amen. All right. For those that do not have it, it's where? On the screen. All right. So verse 7 reads, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of
all things.
He said, I suffered the loss of
all things,
and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may, is that a wonderful thing? Who wants to know him? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, in that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself where I am apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word in the church and bless already. May you be seated. How many of us can really say tonight, I've counted the loss of
all things?
Paul said, I do count them but God. My chief and number one desire is to win Christ. How many can say that from the depth of their soul? I'm not just, this is a personal question for us to ask ourselves. It's not for anyone else, but for you personally, because God knows your heart. How many of us can really say, I've suffered the loss of all things? And my only number one desire is to win Christ. Number one desire, I want to win Christ. And Paul said, and be found in him, not with my own. He said, whatever is important to me, I put that aside. Not with my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is through faith. I just want to know. Anybody want to know him tonight? Now, a lot of us know about Jesus. A lot of us know about the resurrection, and we know this coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. A lot of us know about him, but how many of us know him intimately?
Amen.
How many of us have a close relationship with God tonight? How close is your relationship with the Lord? So what we're going to attempt to study tonight is striving to be in the perfection of God's will. Striving to be in the perfection of God's will. Amen. And when you think of perfection, perfection is not that you're already perfect, but it's a process. Amen. It's steps that you take to eliminate or minimize the faults to be more like Christ. So how many of us are really striving to be in God's will?
Amen.
I don't know why, but that's why you might say that couple, right? Amen. But how many of us is, I guess this is that couple too? Desire to be in God's perfect will. Amen. Amen. Jesus in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." How many of us are striving for perfection? This perfection don't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it means to minimize, to lessen, to have a less impact on the things that are imperfect in our lives. This perfection means we're born towards spiritual maturity. Amen. This perfection means that we're going towards spiritual maturity. When we're going towards spiritual maturity, we're desiring to be in God's perfect will. Amen. How many really want to be in God's perfect will?
Amen.
God's perfect will says, Lord, it's not about me, but it's all about Jesus. His perfect will. So Paul says in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 3, he writes, "My brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Paul said, even though we may be repeating some issues, the most important thing tonight is that for you it is safe. Amen. So we want to be safe in God's will. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in. How many of you tonight can say, I worship the Lord in spirit? The Bible says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. How many can really say, I want to worship him in spirit and in truth? Well, if you have it in your heart to worship God in spirit and in truth, the Lord is looking for you. Because the scripture said, eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. So as we strive for perfection, God is looking for us. You know, a lot of times we say, you know, I'm trying to find God. God is looking for you. But in order for God to find you, he's looking for a heart that is perfect towards him. This striving for perfection, to be in God's will, it's a process, it's steps that we have to take. We are trying to minimize or eliminate as many faults as we can. Amen. That's striving for perfection. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
It throws my concentration off.
Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Nevertheless, we want to still go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're striving for what? Perfection. Perfection is not what we think about ourselves, but perfection is what God thinks about us. Amen. So he said, God is looking for those whose hearts are what?
Perfect
towards who? Him. So in the Lord, looking for those whose hearts are perfect towards him. What is in your heart tonight? Because the Bible, even when the Lord sent Samuel to the house of Jesse, and Jesse was judging based on the outward appearance. And God told him, he said, Jesse, don't base on the outward appearance. He said, man looketh on the heart, but God looketh at the heart. Tonight, the most important thing is forget about everybody else and what everybody else thinks. Don't try about you. What God thinks about you is not what you wear. It's not how you talk. It's not about what you look like. But God is looking at your heart. Amen. Because the Bible said, God seeth not as man seeth. So God is looking at our heart. And then God blesses us based on our heart condition. God will not bless a messed up heart. Amen. And a lot of times we think the heart is just the heart. The heart is not the fleshy part of us, but the heart is the spiritual part of us. It's not just the spiritual part, it's also our mind. So the heart can be contained in what do we think, how do we act, and how do we carry ourselves spiritually. Amen. Because God looks beyond all of that. I was speaking to someone recently, and we were talking about in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, the word of God is quick and it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's something about God's word. There's nothing in science that can do it. There's nothing medically that can do it. Nothing can separate the soul from the spirit. Amen. Because the Bible says, at death, the spirit goes back to God. But the soul lives on forever somewhere. Nobody else can do that but God. Well, how does he do it? He said, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. So God's word looks at us and he said, I'm discerning your heart. God said, I'm not impressed by anything you say. I'm not impressed by anything you do. God said, I'm looking way down. God said, I'm looking at a part of you that nobody can see. God said, I'm looking at your heart. Your heart, I'm discerning why you do what you do. I'm discerning why you say what you say. Now, I know you said, I mean it this way. God said, I'm not a man. Right? So I'm looking beyond what you're saying. God said, I'm seeing the real you. Amen. And God seeing the real us. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, if I look at myself, and I'm telling you, I don't like a lot about me. You're supposed to say, that ain't true. I don't like a whole lot about me. You know, so every day I pray, God, change me. Every day I pray, Lord, change me. Amen. Because I don't care about accolades. I'm about to fight this May 21st, 22nd thing, but nevertheless, we're going to keep going right now. The May 21st, 22nd thing, well, they said messed me up. I said, well, my wife ain't going to be there. I ain't going to show up. I'm going to send one of those, holograms? I'm a hologram myself in there. That's the scene. But God, don't you like to smile or something? Can't be serious all the time. Smile. A merry heart doesn't look like a medicine. And a cheerful heart makes a beautiful countenance. But God is looking at us. You know, seriously, you have to take some time just to sit back and say, if I was God and I'm looking at me, if I'm God and I'm looking at me, I know I said this, but it wasn't true. I know I reflected this, but it wasn't true. I made it seem like I was all with it, but it wasn't true. So when God said me, God does not judge me based on what I say, but God judges me based on my heart. I don't want to impress you. Y'all know me better. But I'm a kind-hearted person. But when it comes to God, I'm all business. I am. I'm all business when it comes to God. You know? Because I want God to judge me based on how I treat you. Because I want God to judge me based on how I treat you through Him.
Amen.
Right? Not how I treat you, but how I treat you through Him. So I am a kind-hearted, I'm a gentle person. But when it comes to God, I make a choice. I make a stand. The scripture says, who's on? The Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. So I'm a clown a whole lot. But when it comes to the scripture, I'm on God. Because I know God is searching me. But I look at myself a lot of times. I say, Lord, I need you to help me to help myself. Well, Paul says here in his third chapter as we go on, he says, now, if any of y'all want to do some accolades about what you are in the flesh, you know, you they got DDs, PhDs, this D, all those other Ds, why are they? Paul said, I'm even greater than that. He says, though I may also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he has wealth, he might have right trust in the flesh. He said, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. He said, if I want to go by all the accolades of the flesh, he said, in the flesh, he said, I am blameless. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He said, hey, I am a stock, I'm a child of Abraham. Even if God gave Abraham a covenant of circumcision, he said, I was circumcised the eighth day. He said, now you all are relishing, he's dealing with the Jews. He said, you're relishing in what you have accomplished in the flesh. He said, but I can do more than that. Amen? But he said, what things were gained to me, those I... The things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. And even the personal things, my idiosyncrasies, the things I did not like, I counted them loss for Christ. Amen. How many believe when I first got saved, I wouldn't even testify? I got tricked into testifying. But I'm going to testify, but you know what? Those things I had to count loss for Christ. When we started this church 8 years or so ago, I said, there's no way in the world I'm going to be up there every whatever, preaching and teaching the word. I am not doing it. But God spoke to me, so I had to count my desires lost for Christ. Amen. I wondered tonight, how many of us are giving up things for Christ? Are we still holding on to our ways stubbornly and refuse to let go of things for Christ? Well, Paul said, what things were? These things were profit. He said, I could have excelled them all. He said, but it was not important what man saw. God said, the most important thing is what God saw. He said, I counted them lost for... How much are we holding on to that we don't want to count lost for Christ? Amen? He said, yea, doubtless, and I count a few things. I count some things. He said, I count all things, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffering the loss of, and do count them a dung that I may win. He said, my number one objective is I want to be what Jesus is. So everything else on this earth, he said, I count it lost. It's not an individual that even comes close to rivaling Christ, because I count that all lost and I may win. I might win Christ. He said, and be found. So when you win Christ, you'll find yourself in him. As long as you hold on to your ways, you can't get in him. But when you start letting go of all of your idiosyncrasies, all of your likes and dislikes, I'll never do this and I'll never do that. Don't ever say that. Because God will put you, he'll put you to the test. And so all those things you say, I'll never do, God said, I'm going to test you. Because if you don't do that, that means you esteem that above me. So God's going to test us in the area. Somebody said, I've been going through the same trial because you have not yet conquered it. And God won't move you to the next level until you conquer where you presently are. Just like Philip, when he went and told Jesus, and he said, Nathaniel, and he went and said, I found a man. Jesus told Nathaniel, he said, I saw you where you were. Right? God don't see us where we're going. God sees us where we presently are. And if God sees us where we presently are, God sees the real us. Everybody else sees the pseudo. What's pseudo mean? False, right? The veneer. You know what a veneer is? Veneer is all that furniture we buy that's particle board that's covered and look real good until you move it twice. Right? And then it all falls apart. Because it's nothing but a veneer. But how many of us have a veneer of spirituality? But when we go through stuff, it reveals the real us. Right? We need to get rid of that pseudo. We need to get rid of the veneer, and we need to let people see the real us. He said, if you found in him not having, don't try to establish what you think is right. Do what's right in the sight of God. By your own righteousness, but the what? I don't know what that. I lost my place. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God that I made.
No.
How many of us really want to know him?
Amen.
I'm not talking about know of him.
Amen.
Amen. Like, how many of you know President Obama? We know what? Of him. But none of us don't know him. Amen. To know him means you have a relationship. There's a closeness in it. Amen. And no one can separate. He says that I may know him. Right? And the what?
Power of his
and the fellowship of his
suffering.
Be made conformable unto his death. How many of us really want to be like that? Conformable unto his death. If by any means. Let's get down to verse 13. Now Paul committed some atrocities. We're going to go over that in a minute. Paul went and got the letter from the high priest about everybody that called in the name of Jesus. He didn't care if they were man or woman. He persecuted, he murdered, he did whatever he could. But Paul now has changed. So Paul realized, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't got to where I want to be in Christ yet. He said, but this one thing I do. The only thing that stops me from being what God wants me to be, he said, I got to forget about all that stuff I did. If I remember all those Christians that I murdered, if I remember all those in the church that I persecuted, he said, that will hold me back. So the number one thing I have to do is forget. I wonder how many of us are trying to hold it on to some stuff. If you want to know him, you got to
forget.
You got to forget. If you want to reach perfection, you have to
forget.
Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect. And if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So we're striving for what? Perfection. So in striving for perfection, it's time for the church to forget. Amen. If you wrong me, when I come to you, I'm not going to bring that up because I'm already forgiving you. So I said, well, how many times? You know, there's some, people so super spiritual. You know, some super spiritual people. Holy people. I know I'm doing the edge walk, right? You're like, you want me to do my hot night? Right? That's family joke. But how many people say, you know, the Holy Righteous people say, yeah, I forgave you yesterday, I forgave you today. That's enough. The disciples came to Jesus. He said, how often? I did something right. I forgave you yesterday. I forgave you last year. I forgave you the year before that. He said, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus said, no. Seven times? Right? He said, seven times? Seven. That's 490 times. Right? You know what he said? You gotta forgive. They didn't care about the number. You got to forgive them however many times, and you don't keep a record. Right? Because in Christ, we don't rejoice in iniquity, but we rejoice in the truth. That rejoice in iniquity is don't keep records of others' wrongs that they've done you. You got to learn to forgive and forget to be like Christ. Right? So in forgetting being like Christ, you gotta forgive somebody seven times. All of us can come to the altar right about there. Right? We all might as well just line up. This is all the right now. Right? Because we all holding on to some stuff. Jesus said seven times seven. So the disciples had a nerve to say, increase our faith. Lord said, no. Don't increase your faith. You're only doing that which is expected of you to be done. Somebody said, well, I forgave you 20 times. You got to stop counting. God expects seven of you. Amen. Seven times. So the next time somebody bring up your faults and failures, say, seven times.
Seven.
You know how the wife and the husband sometimes? My wife will come back up. But I have to say seven times seven to me. That's She all right? Y'all see her blushing?
Oh, turn it
off. All right, but you know, husband and wife, he can bring up some stuff.
Amen.
I'm in the spirit. Paul said, I'm in the spirit. I'm not speaking this by permission. Yeah. I'll be lost. You know, because we are so messed up. We preach Christ, we talk Christ, but we don't reflect Christ. Because we always point and tell somebody, say, you did this, and you did that, and you did the other, and you know what? They said the black women do this. I don't know, I just what they said.
Watch out.
This is what they said.
Watch out.
They said, you know, we have to forget. Right? So if something happened in 2015, when it happens again, God permits it to happen in 2016, God is permitting it to happen to see what your reaction is. Right? God says, you know what, I can already clean and wipe that thing away, but I want to see how you react in 2016. So when it happens, say, I knew it, you ain't never going to change, you've been the same forever, I remember when you did this way back in 1925. All I did there was, never mind. But you know what I'm saying? We bring stuff all the way back there to 1925. You did not forget. Because you keep bringing it up. Paul said, if I keep in mind all that I've done wrong, he said, I can never strive for perfection. He said, I can never be what God wants me to do. So brethren, this one thing I do is
forget.
That's the number one thing you gotta do is learn to forget. Amen. Stop bringing up the past. Don't bring up failures. In Christ, we're supposed to reach for perfection. Every time you bring up, I knew it was gonna happen because you've always been this way, that's not God. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
He said, but this one thing I do is forgetting all things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which before he said, I. You know, Paul said it's not easy, but I'm determined. Anybody determined to walk with Jesus?
Amen.
If you want to walk with Jesus, you got to get rid of some of your ways. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise
he said, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in
Jesus.
Now, verse 15 is a very pivotal part of the scripture. Because he said, let us therefore, as many as be perfectly, I'm striving for perfection. I'm becoming more spiritual mature. Amen. The things that used to bother me when I first got saved, they don't bother me now. You know, can I just be nosy for a minute? Can I be nosy? Thank you. Y'all can say yes, but we'll go to anyway. We do a lot of counseling on people, different situations. Right? I'm trying not to bring up exact situations, so y'all don't go running. But we do counseling, and people say, well, you know what, I've lost my confidence in this situation or individual because of what they did in the past. How do you lose confidence when you're supposed to forgive? Come on, y'all talking? Well, I don't trust him because what he did, you're supposed to have forgiven them. So when you talk about what they did in the past, you're speaking that failure into life. Right? Every time you bring up somebody's negative thing, you're giving that negative thing life. You're speaking it, right? Because life and death is in the power of it. So you're speaking that negative stuff. You remind yourself, no, we're supposed to be more like Christ. So stop speaking that negative stuff into people's life. Because our words have power. The screen said, use them carefully. Don't keep spitting out all that poison, right? The tongue is a, what kind of poison? Deadly poison. Right? So who can tame it? It ought not to be in church, but out of the same fountain comes bitter and sweet water. How did this happen in church? Because you won't let go of the past. God can't move you forward as long as you're holding the past. Paul said, as many of us as thus, let us be perfect. And if anything otherwise you be, God said that you want to be perfect. You want to do what's right. If you be in the way otherwise minded, God will reveal it. God will reveal it. Because the Bible said there's nothing done in secret that God will not reveal. There's nothing done in secret that he will not make known openly. You thought it was here, God said, but I see it and I'm going to reveal it. Amen. Now let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Amen. Now we're talking about all the stuff that Paul did, and all the things that Paul went through. When he says forgetting. Amen. Forgetting. Now Paul thought he was doing God's favor. Doing God a favor. By persecuting the church. Because that's when he was in his own righteousness. When you're in your own righteousness and you're not in the righteousness of God through faith, you will persecute well-meaning people because you're establishing your own righteousness. Amen? So people can be doing well, you can't see the good because you're so self-righteous. Right. So Paul thought he was doing the right thing. How can you be doing the right thing when you're talking about the church? Paul says, we're not as a church. We're not supposed to do what? Fight and devour. Right. So once you start running somebody down, you're doing what? Fighting and devouring. You know what I mean? We're striving for what? Perfection. You can't be perfection by talking about each other. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 9 reads, and Paul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of these are God's disciples. You breathing out threatenings and slaughter? This means he was murdering them. Not just threatening them, he was murdering the what? Disciples of the Lord. Went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, and he found any of, because Jesus is the way. See, if I find any of this Jesus way, right? This way is Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth. If I find anybody following this Jesus, amen, any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want God to shine a light? I'm going so wrong to shine a light. You know, it's amazing. The light is who? Jesus said, I am the light. So he shines the light. If you read about it in Acts 26, it said it was above the brightness of the sun in the afternoon. It was that bright out. There's something about that light that Jesus shined. That light exceeded the brightness of the sun. Saul in his track, because he's not Paul yet, for those who want to be politically correct. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And he said, who art thou? Now, Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. And they knew that in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Right? So when Saul is talking to the Lord, he's talking to the Lord, God, Jehovah, God Almighty. He said, who are you, Almighty God? Who are you, Lord? Right? Because they knew that nobody else could speak from heaven but God. Amen? He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am
Jesus.
I'm Jesus.
Whom thou
cursest. Right about that, I'm sure Saul thought, what? You can't be Jesus because Jesus was on earth as a man. So you can't be Jesus in heaven. How can that be? Because the Lord our God is
one
and put my hand in the hole in his feet, he said, I will not believe. Mm-hmm. Then when Jesus showed up, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Right. These were Jews. The Jews knew that the only Lord was God, and God was the Lord. He is the first, and he is. He is Alpha, and he is. And beside him, there is no God. So they said, wait a minute. I'm talking to God. And God said he is. God, who said? God said, I'm Jesus. Who thou persecuted. He said, it's hard for thee to kick. And he trembling and astonished said, right? But he was persecuting. The very thing he was persecuting stopped him in his track. But when God corrected him, and that's what we need to do in learning to go towards perfection. He said, Lord, what will thou
have me to do?
He didn't give no stipulations. This is when you're going towards perfection. When you say, Lord, what do you want? It's not about me. It's not about what I like. It's not about what I don't like. But that's when you emptied yourself out. He said, I've counted all things but loss that I may win Christ and be found in him not with my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith, right, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is through faith. That's when you, know what? I've emptied myself out. All those things that were gained to me, I've counted them loss. Paul said, what do you want him to do? Have any of us got to that point where we don't give God, you know, like, I'm going to do it. Lord, what do you want me to do to a certain point? Right? How many of us have set limitations on God? God, I'll do this, but that Paul or Saul at this time said, what do you want me to do? He realized that he had been so wrong. And that's what you do when you're wrong. You don't try to justify it. You don't try to excuse it. Amen. You don't try and make up stuff. You just say, you know what, I'm wrong. What do you want me to do? Amen. When Nathan went to David and finally helped David see himself, David didn't blame anyone else. He said, I have sinned. Right? I'm going to teach y'all something on, Psalm 51, especially our preachers, right? When David said, I was shaping and living and then sin, did my mother conceive me? He wasn't talking about regular situations, right? He was talking about something different. Right? So one day we'll teach on that. So when you use that, you use it out of order. You say, we were all shaping in the iniquity and sin that our mothers could see. Well, that's not what he was saying. Right? So y'all want to do some research on that? Preachers? Well, y'all, all y'all preachers, raise your hand. All y'all want to be preachers, to raise your hand. That's not even there. Alright. I'm gonna go off the side and teach y'all with this for a little bit, right? David's father was Jesse. But David had two half sisters. So how could he have a half sister when he had brothers and his father was Jesse, right? And his sisters weren't through Jesse and his mother. So that means that David was conceived out of an illegitimate birth. Right, that's enough. Y'all do the rest. I gave y'all enough. Zeruiah, right? The mother of Joab and Abner and all them. They were his half-sisters. Now his brothers were his full brothers. How can he have brothers and half-sisters? Because I was shaped in iniquity. And in sin did my mother. That's the only time that scripture is used in the whole Bible. In sin did my mother conceive me. Why? If we all shaped into sin and iniquity. All right. Somebody said, get back on the main thing. Back on the main thing. All right. No charge, preachers. I'm a test. But David, when he was confronted by Nathan, he didn't make up anything. He just said, I have sinned. And God forgave him. Our problem is when we're called to rectify our wrong, we justify it too much. And God knows our heart. He looks beyond what we say And God sees us as we really are. Amen. Now, let us go, I have a couple more minutes. Let us go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Now, we're striving for perfection, right? We want to be like God. We want to be perfect. In striving, now we're going for the perfection of our will. That means we need to eliminate some stuff, right? Some things that are causing us not to be like Christ. We need to start eliminating things. Because how many want to make God's perfect will? Christ said, is God that worketh in you both the will and to do of his all that will? God is working in all of our lives, right? He's working stuff in us and he's working stuff out of us. But every time God works something in you, he's watching your reaction. Right? Do you love me enough that you're not going to put yourself first? Amen. If any man come after me, Jesus said, let him do what? The first thing, you want to follow God? I gotta tell you, somebody tell me this because they might get mad at you. Right? Tell yourself. Are you really denying yourself? Seriously, are you denying yourself? He said, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself. Right? That means my desire has become set to God's will. My wants do not supersede God's will. God's will is number one. Somebody say, you just let people walk on you and do this, do that. You know what? I'm trying to be more like Christ. When Christ was on the cross, don't you know he could have called a legion of angels? But he went through all of that suffering for you and I. Why? That's our pattern. Paul said, being made conformable unto his what? Death. That I may know him. The problem that the church has is we just want to keep taking in and we don't want to have no sufferings. We don't want to have to go into anything. The scripture says, if you don't suffer with him, you can't reign with him. So you have to deny yourself first. Then pick up your cross and follow him daily. This is the only way that you're going to win Christ and be like Christ. You have to deny yourself. There's a whole lot of things that I don't like. Now, I'm going to give you this. Y'all read Proverbs, right? All right, who can quote Proverbs 20, verse 1? All right, I'll do it for you. No, don't look it up. Y'all cheat. You call this. Look it up. I didn't say look it up. I said go. But at 3 something this morning, I got myself, Lord woke me up with this scripture. So I said, I don't know why I'm using this scripture. It's nowhere in my text. I'm going to put it in there. It says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby, it's not lies. It's like, so I was trying to be sure I didn't wake my wife up. So I had my phone. I was like, why did this scripture come to me at 3:12 in the morning? I'm like, ooh. So then I had to sneak out of bed. So I didn't wake her up at 3-something in the morning. I'm so glad I didn't sleep. I didn't have to make no coffee tonight either. But I just like, out of all the things, why do you give me that? Mind is a mock and strong drink and raisin. So, and whosoever is deceived thereby, it's not wine. So wine is an intoxicating drink. Wine is a marker. So you ever see people that get drunk, they be acting all out of sorts, right? Don't act like themselves. And you tell them what they did the next day, they say, not but me. That's marker. That's foolishness. So people say, like, we can drink wine. He said, yeah, you can drink it, but you're not wise. Right? And strong drink is all when you ever see people get drunk, all they want to do is fight. I'm throwing this in because God gave it to me at 3 in the morning. When he gave me something at 3 in the morning, I stayed up reading. It has to be for a reason. I don't know who it's applied to. It might be for the internet. Look at somebody and say, this is for the internet. Unless you've been drinking some wine, it's going to drink. Right? Because it said, if you drink wine, if you drink intoxicating drink, you are not. And it said, the worst thing about drinking wine and strong drink is it deceives you. Whosoever is deceived, thereby it, can't put that up there. Strong drink is raging. Now he said, well, Bible don't say you can't drink. He said, if you're deceived,
you're not wise.
So the Lord didn't say, then do it, but if you're not wise, and you're deceived, and the Bible said, let no man. So that means we shouldn't be drinking water or strong drink. Y'all ain't gotta say it again. I'm gonna say it when the Bible says it. This is what God says. Somebody said, well, it didn't. When I first got saved, I had a problem a little bit. I'm telling myself, yeah, that's a new story. I gotta tell people once in a while. When I first got saved, I was in college. I was only 19 years old. And I was a football player and a basketball player. So what do football players and basketball players do? Not wine. Wine, drink wine. I guess that was terrible. When we drink that other stuff, it ain't quite as bad as wine. We ain't gonna glorify it because it's too much anyway. But so when I got saved and I went home, my conscience would eat me up, so I knew it was wrong. But I did it because I was with my friends that weren't saved. So I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Right? So I didn't drink a whole lot, but I didn't want to seem like a square because I just got saved. I got saved in November and I went home in December. But my conscience ate me alive because I had a can of something drinking. It wasn't holy water or anything, stuff like that either. But I was drinking it. Then when I got home, I was praying, Lord, please don't kill me. I know I shouldn't have done it. So, you know, I had to make a choice. You know, this is how God helps you. When I got there, because I was putting myself in a bad environment. And in order for me to be in that environment, I had to do what everybody else was doing. So from that day forward, I never went back. I isolated myself from that environment. You know what? They said, well, I kept saying, well, the Bible says you can't drink. But if you're deceived and not wise,
Jesus.
Right? We could go further. We could go back in Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 9 or 10, where Moses tells the priests, Aaron, the high priest, God's given water. He said, do not drink wine nor strong drink. He said, if you drink that and come to the house of God, you're going to die. Y'all believe that? Well, I'm going to let y'all read about yourself. I think it's in Leviticus chapter 9, like the first verse, or chapter 10, the first verse. If they drink wine and went into the house of God, they want to die? Jesus. Well, the Bible don't say don't drink it. But if you want to drink something and die, that means don't drink it, right? Am I messing with some of y'all's minds this morning? Y'all ain't giving me no strong answers. I'm just saying what the Bible says, right? If you deceive by drinking it, you're not wise. It means you act like, when you're not wise, you act like a fool. And the fool is saying in his heart,
there is no God.
All right. So now let's get back to the scripture. Y'all with me, Sam? Acts chapter 20. Well, it came to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, so he asked me for a reason. Don't drink wine, don't drink beer, don't drink wine coolers. All that stuff is not good. Because if you drink it, it influences you. It makes you make bad choices. You have a pill to take or you want to drink alcohol. So you get evicted from your house because you can't stop. Yes, not. That is not wise. I'm just telling you what God gave me. I told you I'm going to give it to you. I know if you read it, don't be another man. I know God is going to say, I gave it to you, and you hid it, right? So Acts chapter 20, verse 22 reads, Paul says, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say the Holy Ghost, witnesses in every city, saying bonds and afflictions, they're waiting for me. But he said, not of move me. I wonder tonight, are there some things that are happening that's moving us, that are causing us to lose our confidence in God? Are there some things that are moving us? He said, neither can I mind. He said, even what I want is not important. Because my number one desire is to please Him.
Amen.
So if even if there's some stuff I don't like, I know there's nothing but troubles and bugs and afflictions waiting for me. He said, but that don't move me. Yes, hard times are coming, but that don't move me. He said, even better yet, I don't even count my own life dear to myself. Because my number one desire is to win Christ. That's what I might finish my course. I don't care how many in front people put up. When someone does something that displeases God, they don't have joy. I don't care how much they smile and how much of a front they put forward, they don't have joy. Hallelujah, because the Bible says it's with joy that we draw waters out of the well of salvation. You can't be unsaved and think you got joy. You might have some happiness, but you don't have joy. Because it's with joy that we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And Jesus said, this joy I give you, the world. You got joy. Anybody got joy? I said, Jesus said, joy unspeakable. Paul said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you got joy like you ought to have it, hallelujah, amen, nothing will move you. He said, yes, this one is mad at me, and that one is mad at me, and everybody's talking about me, but I still got my joy. Hallelujah, everybody in the church is mad at me because I'm doing what God told me to do, but I still got my joy. And what I like about the joy that God gives me, the joy that gives me, hallelujah, you can come up against me, but you cannot take it away. Saved, where shall they sin and the ungodly appeared. For judgment must begin at the house of God. Tonight, forget about everybody else. Forget about pleasing individuals. Forget about what other people think about you more than God. What does God think about us tonight as the elders and the ministers come forward? What does God think about you? What does God think about your walk? What does God think about your talk? What does God think about your actions and the things that you have and have not? What does God think about you? What does God think about me? Every day I try to check myself out. Amen. Every day I try to work more on my disposition and deal with people. I work more on my disposition with answering people. A lot of times people say, why did you do such and such? I say, because God didn't tell me to do that. Right? Have you ever thought that God put me, how do you want me to do this? Before we fly off the cuff and make our own decisions. Do we say, God, how do you want me to handle this situation? God, how do you want me to respond to this? Do you want me to just be my same old self? Or should I show that I'm a new creature in Christ? It's all about change. It's all about pleasing God. We're striving for perfection. Amen.